all is quiet. The whole earth lies in wait. What then shall separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ? We approach the dreaded tomb. Who shall roll away the large stone for us? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or sword? We reach the tomb. The stone is rolled away. Nothing shall separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ. Rejoice! Jesus Christ is risen today. The earth cannot keep silent. We must all rejoice in the good news of Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. Welcome, my friends, on this most holy day. Let's turn to God as we open with a word of prayer. A loving and powerful God, we rejoice that Christ is risen. Open our hearts and our spirits to receive fully the joy which has been given for us. Let us celebrate the victory of Christ and the hope for the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Glories now we sing. Who died eternal life to bring, and lives at death may die. Crown him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father, and the blessed Spirit.
Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they could embalm him. Very early on Sunday morning, as the sun rose, they went to the tomb and they worried out loud to each other, "Who will roll back the stone from the tomb for us?" Then they looked up and saw that it had been rolled back. It was a huge stone, and they walked right in. They saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed all in white. They were completely taken aback, astonished. He said, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, the one they nailed on the cross. He's been raised up. He's no longer here. You can see for yourselves that the place is empty. Now, on your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going on ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there exactly as he said." They got out fast as they could, beside themselves, their heads swimming and stunned. They said nothing to anyone. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Do you notice anything different about Mark's version of the story? I mean, most often it's John's version that's shared on Easter morning, a version where Jesus is actually seen. But for some reason, Mark shares a different perspective. He tells of three women going to the tomb, and they're worried sick and assuming the worst. They want to honor Jesus and to just make sure he has a decent burial. And their first fear is, how will they roll the stone away? Their hope is that they can get the sympathy of the soldiers and that they'll get them to roll the stone away. Strangely, when they arrive, they find the stone has already been rolled away. However, instead of being happy and relieved, they seem to worry all the more. Heading into the tomb, they find that Jesus is gone. And instead, there's this young man sitting there dressed in white. And yes, they're confused. This wasn't at all what they expected. What happened? What's going on here? Well, the young man, an angel, tries to calm them and reassure them. He tells them that Jesus is gone and to let the disciples know that Jesus will meet them as planned in Galilee. You'll see him there exactly as he said, he tells them. Well, far from reassured, they make a quick exit, heads swimming, confused, scared, and not saying a word to anyone. Now, keep in mind, for them to even go to the tomb in the first place was a big risk, especially given the circumstances of Jesus' death. And none of this is what they'd expected. Sadly, fear rules. Not quite the Easter feel-good story we're used to, is it? That, as a reaction to this abrupt ending, some versions of Mark actually include verses that were added much later to sort of sweeten the story and make it more similar to some of the other versions. Well, you may be wondering why I opted for this particular version of the story, especially during our own painful time of loss and uncertainty. Well, the thing is, Easter is about so much more than just feel-good moments and happy holiday traditions, as lovely as those may be. And maybe this telling is something that we all need to hear right now. As I look at the story, the first thing that comes to mind is like, wait a second, why are they so fearful and surprised? Jesus told them how it would end. But as Timothy Ayers says, not one of them was thinking about the many times Jesus said that he would arise from the dead on the third day. One would imagine that at that moment, his prophecies of rising from the grave would have been forefront in their minds, but they weren't. It had nothing to do with the resurrection. It only had to do with an empty tomb and the missing body. There was still no recognition in Mary Magdalene's mind that, as Jesus predicted, he had risen from the dead. Now think about it. Jesus kept trying to prepare them for what lay ahead, letting them know it wouldn't be easy, there would be suffering, but that all that was necessary and would be overcome. And it wasn't God who called for Jesus' crucifixion, it was people. Jesus had to go through it, but it wasn't the end. It was just the beginning. And they already knew how it would go. They had been told over and over, and yet they still responded in fear. Like the women, we too are left with an empty tomb of sorts, but also with the promise. We too know how it ends. Yet we too tend to spend so much of our lives forgetting that promise and responding to life's many challenges with worry and fear instead of trust. It's why this telling of the resurrection story is probably the right one for us right now, because the question for us is the same as it was for them. And knowing that we serve a risen Savior, the question is, how will we respond to our circumstances, dark as they are? How will we choose to live? Will we trust this promise and let it change our lives the way it changed the women and other disciples eventually? Yes, our situation right now can feel very difficult, very painful, and even terrifying at times. But we have a promise that Jesus goes ahead of us, just as he said, and that we will see him, and we will never be the same. Because the resurrection of Christ is not the end. Rather, it's just the beginning. And my friends, we're part of it. As Amy Butler so well puts it, the only way those fearful followers believed, the only way they came to finally understand that their friend Jesus was in actual fact who he said he was, the only way the unbelievable became real to them was by allowing the story to reach its way into their lives until it changed them. Until they were absolutely and positively compelled to finish the story for themselves with their very lives. And today, she says, so far away from the events of the Gospel of Mark, she says, I'm afraid the only way we're going to be able to believe the unbelievable is just the same. We're going to have to finish the story for ourselves. She goes on to ask, what difference does the risen Christ make in your life? This is not about new clothes for Easter or ham or Easter eggs. This is not about lilies or candles or even beautiful music. This is about the fact that life is hard, that death and pain and uncertainty and fear, injustice and war are tangibly here, right here, part of our lives, all the time. What good is it, she asked, to go around once a year retelling a fairy tale if it doesn't mean anything. As Karl Vater so wisely points out, we always learn more through the valleys than the mountaintops. If we're willing to pay attention to the lessons being taught, that is, when we learn from our losses, we can make the next valley a little less painful and the next mountaintop a lot more glorious. My friends, in spite of the pain and uncertainty of these troubled times we live in, we truly do have much to celebrate this Easter. The promise is real. And through Christ, nothing can hold us back. Let us pray. Gracious and patient God, we come before you with so many things which weigh us down. We'd like an easy faith, one that doesn't cause us to look within ourselves to identify those many ways in which we've forsaken you. But faith is never easy. It requires our very souls. Forgive us, God, for all those things which we've neglected to do that would have helped someone else to be closer to you. Heal our hearts from the wounds which have been inflicted upon us by the anger and misunderstandings which occur in relationships. Prepare our lives to be of service to you. We so long for your presence and your healing touch. O Lord of love, we pray for all who suffer in mind or body, or for those who care for them. We pray for the sick, for those who mourn, for those without faith, hope, or love. We pray for any known to us who are in special need of our prayers at this time, especially those known personally to us. We remember them now in a moment of silence. This day, as we've gathered to celebrate the joy of Easter, let us remember that we are to become Easter people, people of the resurrection, people who know that what was thought to be impossible has been conquered. Help us to release our stubbornness and fears and fill us with your healing love and help us to become the disciples that you need to serve in this world. We ask this in the name of our risen Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Is my name.
My friends, as God has forgiven our sins, let us go joyfully into God's world, offering God's love, forgiveness, and peace. And now, in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. And God bless you.